So just to set the context of the business that I'm in, has anybody ever had a baby in this group? Anybody ever had a scan, an ultrasound scan done when you're pregnant or your partner or whatever? That's the equipment that my team sells. My team sells ultrasound equipment to obstetricians, gynecologists, perinatologists, reproductive endocrinologists, all those ologists, and the sonographers that actually do the scans. So that's the context of what my business does, so everybody knows. A lot of happiness, usually a lot of good stories out there. I'm going to start with a story. Tyler did such a nice job telling so many good stories that I feel like I have some good stories on how to follow. So we're talking about social selling here today. And I was with our Central Zone team in Chicago last week. We were getting together to do some new product introductions. Also, we're in an FDA-regulated business, so we are a Class II medical device. So we're talking about all this stuff. Everything has to get stamped and approved and all of that. Because anybody else in an FDA? Okay, couple. All right, so you feel my pain. So anywho, so we were together last week, and we were talking about our new product introduction, and we had a little bit of time because we're waiting for the West Zone to wake up and get to the show. So the Central Zone manager had asked me to talk about social selling and actually wanted me to specifically focus on how easy some of this stuff was for the sales team to get engaged with. So in particular, we were focusing on how to do mass uploads of contacts into your LinkedIn. Click, 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 and you can get it done. So I actually did a quick run through of my slides here, but I wasn't trying to sell them on social media. I didn't feel like that was my job, but hey, if you want to get on board, here's how easy some of the steps are. So we had a new sales rep in the room, and I was actually using her a list that I had created for her. We're going through the steps, and one of the guys says, well, why don't you load all of our customers onto your LinkedIn? And I said, well, why would you want me to have your customers on my LinkedIn? Well, then you can just filter. You have all the content, so you can just take those and send them to me. So I don't think he quite got the message that LinkedIn and networking. So I guess the point is we can only invest so much. They have to be willing to invest a little bit too. So they're all not going to be successes. We are dealing with people here. So I have about 30 minutes today to talk with you. So I don't think I'm going to use all the 30 minutes. We'll have plenty of time to ask questions and engage. We have a pretty small group here, so please ask questions along the way. But three objectives: how to engage the sales team, how to help your sales team connect with customers, and how to provide meaningful, relevant, and in my particular world, regulatory-approved content, legal and regulatory-approved content. So it goes without saying that I believe in social selling. I believe it's the right thing to do. There's about 40,000 OBGYNs in the United States and about 50,000 sonographers out there. There is no way through traditional methods that we can touch all of these guys. There's just no way. You talk about cold calling, just getting the yellow pages. We don't even have numbers for these guys. So how are we going to find all of these guys? Some of these people don't want to be found. So I believe in it. I think it's definitely a way to get that. Connecting to our customers, we know that we need to do this. And we know that it's a terrific way to get out content to our customers. So I'm sort of the self-appointed advocate for our organization, so I really do believe in it. And the good news is that our team is getting there, too. We started this journey in 2018, and we've made some really good strides. So what was I trying to accomplish? Well, I work for GE. Did anybody read any of the papers to hear about what's going on with GE lately? GE has not had the best of years. Anybody a shareholder? Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah. So it's been a rough year. We just recently lost. We have another new CEO. So two years. So it's been a rough challenge for us. So I came into 2018. With all this, with a drastically reduced marketing budget. And virtually no social media presence when it came to my particular business, my women's health ultrasound business. GE, of course, does the high-level stuff, but nobody in my particular business is doing much on social media. The small budget, no social media presence, and I thought, oh, we gotta do something here. So I knew I had a Facebook account. I actually had an inactive Facebook account because the whole political session really annoyed me, and so I just stopped using it. LinkedIn account and I had a Twitter account, and I really used my LinkedIn to kind of keep track of what jobs were out there, but I really didn't know what to do with it in order to turn it into social selling. So that's what I was like, gosh, we got to do better. We have to be able to do more. So while I might complain a bit about a smaller budget this year, GE has continued to invest in its people, and we continue to try and look for different things. And so one of the things that we do is we invest in learning for all of our people. And one of the things that came across my desk was this social selling course. And I was like, this might be what we need. It was a course that was offered for anybody in GE. And mind you, we sell lighting, we sell power equipment, we sell healthcare, we sell all sorts of stuff. So anybody from GE, anywhere in the world, could be in this course. And we thought, maybe that's not quite the way we want to do this. But I checked it out. I found out pretty quickly that this course was offered by a third party. But we thought, we might have something here. We might be able to take what the nuggets are here and turn this into something that might be useful for our business, and then really start that journey on our social media. So I had this idea that I was going to do this full scope, big bang approach. We have about 110 people in our commercial team. It's comprised of about 45 direct salespeople, and then the other 55 are what we call clinical sales specialists or applications people. These are former sonographers who actually demo the equipment and are in touch with the customers, but they work as partners with the salespeople, so our sales and our clinical folks. So we've got 110 of those, and they're divided across four regions. We were all going to be getting together in May, and I thought, this would be great. We could get them all together, 4 hours, and be done with this. And our sales guys were like, our leaders were like, maybe not. So they wanted proof points. They wanted proof that social selling worked. So I worked with Forward Progress. That was the group that we went through for this course. I said, okay, I need examples. I need proof points. I need to convince these sales leaders that we need to go with this, because they were going to have to spend money on training. Well, they gave us some proof points, but then they said, well, has anybody in GE done it? Has anybody in GE been successful in it? We have a problem that was not invented at GE. It doesn't count. We always have to redo it to make it GE-like. But anyway, that's our own. I think a lot of companies have that issue. So anyway, we got back. Well, no, we didn't have any GE healthcare-specific success story. So instead of doing this big bang approach, we came back, we really need to pilot this. Okay, so let's pilot this. All right, so then I went back to the zones. We have four of them. I got some volunteers, or voluntolds, depending on how you want to call it, from each of the regions. And I got Forward Progress agreeing that, hey, let's do this special cohort, just our commercial team, just us, and do a series just based on our schedules. So they agreed to do this. I ended up working across our radiology, our cardiovascular, our point-of-care ultrasound, and I came up with 35 people that were willing to do the social media course. And yeah, you could say that these guys were kind of over here in this early adopter phase, but the results were really pretty terrific. We did it. We started the communications in February, and we actually did the course in April, and it was really great. We had really good engagement, 97% engagement, and really high participation rates. And I know one of the persons that didn't participate, and she's just come back from maternity leave, and she's going to retake some stuff in October. So suffice to say, we had some really good results from this course. But we did have a lot of lessons that we learned as well. I don't know if you can read the subheading up there, but it says salespeople don't read emails. I don't know. They don't read my emails. And if you have that same experience, yeah, there's a few. So you just have to keep communicating. But anyway, these are some of the lessons that we've learned. You might guess by now that I was the self-nominated champion for this project across our ultrasound business. But it really does take a champion, somebody that's going to be out there promoting it, actively engaged. I actually took the pilot course. I was there along with the sales team and was on the sessions every week. And what that allowed me to do, though, was to listen. And then as a marketer, I was trying to say, okay, how can I help my team be more successful? How can I clue them in with the resources that we have and feed them the stuff that's going to help them get prepared for next week's course? So that's what I did, and it was really helpful. We also found that the schedule really needed to be flexible and accommodating. These folks are in their field-based, right? They're traveling most days, many days a week. Oftentimes, Friday's a work-from-home day. Oftentimes, it's not. It really depends on what's available. So we actually said, okay, let's plan for Friday morning, but we have to record the sessions. And so that actually worked really well for us because a lot of people wanted to be engaged, but they knew that they couldn't make that Friday morning work or any specific time work. It just wasn't going to work with their travel schedules. And I technically don't travel like these guys do, but I missed 3 of the 4 live sessions. I ended up having to do the recording sessions just because of other travel travel commitments myself. So having the recorded session was key. And then being organized. We had 35 people. This was sort of a grassroots effort. And then I found, gosh, I feel like I'm missing people in some of my communications. So I ended up, as we went through the rest of the year, I had a July course and then also an October course that is just kicking off now. I ended up having a master spreadsheet because people were coming back and asking me for results and strategies. So then I had to build that and created a distribution list so I didn't accidentally leave somebody off for any of the communications that I wanted. So I ended up trying to be hyper-organized. And then I also, just based on being part of that pilot class, I created a communication plan so that for each week that the course is going, I would send up that follow-up communication, ones that I had created when I was going through the pilot class, and then I've just kept that up for the subsequent ones. So over-communicating to the people that don't read emails so that at some point they will recognize that, oh, you probably sent that to me at some point in time. So that's been really great. The other thing that I didn't have up here that I think has been really successful for us as well is using sort of those organic influencers, people that have gone through the course and have been successful. So I was in Chicago last week. I told you that story. And we were talking about social media and social selling, and some of the other sales folks in the room were starting to ask questions. And one of the guys in the pilot course just started talking. He did all the answering of all the tough questions, which was fantastic because he was able to give examples, how it worked, where it worked, where he was still trying to figure out how to tweak things, but I'd rather let him take the hard questions from his peers. It worked out really well. So I think having that, and then we also have some really nice examples of some of our clinical people doing some really creative and fun things because they're out there working with our customers at installations and that kind of thing. So it's been really, really fantastic for us. So we did a second course in July, and this one was kind of hot off the presses. It was this is all self-nominated. The first course was, you know, we'll pluck you out because we think you should be in there, but the word got out. And so we had 48 people raise their hands and want to run through this. Dean Delisle from Forward Progress said these were record numbers for GE in terms of engagement and participation. So he felt really good about it. I took these numbers in August, and they actually get 90 days, so I actually think the engagement and participation goes up. But again, we had great participation, great engagement, and we're keeping going. We actually have a course that's kicking off this week. I have to look at my calendar. This week or next week? And again, we're at the point now where with the July course, we're probably just past that 50%. So we're getting over now into those late majority folks. And I think that's something, and then we'll talk about that at the end, but one of those things that as we get through those phases, I'm going to have to do my recruitment a little bit different. So for the people that are not as gung-ho about this, we're going to have to go after them a little bit different. The other interesting thing that I thought was when we were looking at the people in our organization of who was going to sign up for this, who was going to raise their hands, we have a pretty wide range in terms of tenure and experience. What surprised me is that two of our most tenured people, two people that I thought would never jump on the wagon for this, they raised their hands and went through the social selling. So never say never. I think the folks will surprise you. Think my aha moment on that one is I think these guys are tenured for a reason because they continue to reinvent themselves, and they will do whatever it takes to get out there. So that's getting the folks started, getting them through the basics. And Forward Progress is a company that we used. It's a 4-week curriculum, and it basically takes them through creating their profile, connecting with customers, linking in with the right people, and then talks about content. And for the salespeople in particular, setting up appointments and doing that kind of stuff, how to use that for the actual social selling portion. I was focused on probably the first 2.5, 2.75 session because I'm not going to be going out and setting up appointments, but really good content for the team. So to make all of this stuff work, we know that we have to connect to the right customers. And we all have lots of resources out there. And I know we said this, you know, the GE, woe is me, but suffice to say, GE has pretty deep resources. We all do, right? We all have different customer relationship management sources. We all have install base information. We just have to find where it is. So what I feel like my role is to make sure that I help the salespeople connect with that information and cross those chasms. So we're going to talk a little bit about who, what, where, and how. So how do you make this all happen with connecting to your customers? So we're going to start with the who and the what. So there's some obvious and some less obvious places of who these folks are. The obvious ones are your install base and your lead management tools. We use a bunch of tools, but we use Salesforce. Anybody here use Salesforce? Yeah. I actually was looking at my window last night, and I saw the big Salesforce building over there. So I was like, oh. But we use Salesforce. Now, do I trust the data that comes out of Salesforce? Yeah, about as much as you guys do, right? So it's going to be one of the sources of data. It's not going to be the sole source of data. The other thing with our Salesforce data is that for some reason we don't have email addresses for all of those folks. So that makes it challenging as well. But we also have, we use Marketo. Any Marketo users out there? We use Marketo for our lead management system. So we've got emails in there, but they're not the same necessarily. But anyway, we've got sets of emails, right, in some of these obvious places. Now, how do you get them to the salespeople? That becomes the next step. Some of the not as obvious places or sources that the sales team might not think about are some of these secondary sources that we have access to, and I'm sure you guys all have access to those. We use Definitive Healthcare as a source that we use. GE Purchase is a source for that. And it has lots of physician information and hospital information, and it has some contact information that's really helpful. And they actually even have a column for LinkedIn profile if the person chooses to fill that out. There's also purchasable email lists. You invest in that. I actually just purchased some email lists. Unfortunately, they expire after a year. So Marketo, we found out that Marketo has a self-destruct feature, so that after a year it will self-destruct. But again, those emails we can't send to the you're looking at me. We just found that out. So oh. yeah, I know, but it's an investment. So we purchased some email lists, but the others, like at trade shows, if you go to a trade show, sometimes you can purchase those and have those email lists, load them at Marketo and send them out to your sales team. There's ways to do that. I think in our business in particular, one of the most untapped resources is those personal contact lists. Going into Outlook, and especially for the seasoned sales reps, they have all those customer email lists. They don't want to share them with me, but they have them. and I don't know if you guys experience this at all, but we have some folks that are really protective of their customer email list. They don't want to give them up. They don't want us to spam them. They don't want to turn their customers off. I respect that, but use them to link in with them, right? If you're the one having the relationship with them, use them and link in with them. That's my only request there. And the other one that we're just getting started on, so it's really fortuitous timing that I'm here, is we're just getting started on influencers. And anybody that was downstairs in that keynote speech was talking B2B, much smaller, right? We're not talking hundreds of thousands of people. We're talking about 40,000 OBGYNs, right, in the U.S. Of those, I don't, still have to figure out who our influencers are. We also have something in our business and in a lot of industries, who are the key opinion leaders. Now, we know who is on the lecture circuit, who is out there doing all the lecture circuits. Those are not the same people as the influencers, I can assure you. Those same people that are out there on the lecture circuit, the ones that we want to wine and dine, well, we can't wine and dine them anymore, but the ones we want to treat very special, they're not the ones out on LinkedIn and on Twitter, not necessarily. Some may, but they're not the same. So we have to figure out, we have great relationships with our key opinion leaders. We haven't figured out how to tap into those influencers yet, and that's on my radar list for 2019. So the other thing I did when I came into this role about a year ago was I was like, where are our customers when it comes to social media? Because I heard from some of the folks in our group, oh, Facebook, 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 everybody's on Facebook. And I kind of gave you my face about Facebook earlier and political, but I just didn't want to mix Facebook and business. I mean, for lots of reasons. But in the women's health ultrasound space, anything we've done on Facebook has not turned out well. It gets political, it gets messy. And that's all I really want to say about that. And we can't take sides, we're not going to take sides. So for that reason, and for that reason alone at this point in time, you have a puzzled face. Okay. it gets into the anti-abortion and anti-this. It goes there really fast. So we just don't want to go there. So I was just trying to do data points. Where are our customers? So this is a list of a bunch of the professional societies in our group. I won't quiz you on some of this. Like, this is the big one, the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine docs. These are the ones that if you have twins or if you're a high-risk mom or if you have anything that might be at risk with you or the fetus, you're going to the maternal fetal medicine doc, okay? These are the influencers out there. So where are they, right? And so the good news is that they are on LinkedIn increasingly, and there's a bunch on Twitter and following them on Twitter. So it depends, right? This group is a really interesting one. Sonographers do it in the dark. So the sonographers they're the users of our equipment, and they have a Facebook group that's 67,000 strong. My data said there's only 50,000 sonographers in the U.S. I'm a member of Sonographers Doing It in the Dark, and I guess there's a lot of other people that are not sonographers that are as well. But it's a really active group, and they're out there saying, oh, I had this patient today, and there's some funny stories about smelly patients and some funny stories about, you know, just having a really rough day. Like, I saw this problem, and I had to communicate this to the patient. And then there's other things where it comes up, like, I have this sort of scenario. How do I do this? And people are able to chime in and help each other with that. So that's a really neat Facebook group. But again, when we're selling to customers, we're selling to the docs mostly. We're not selling to the sonographer. So again, got to know your audience and where they are. So that's why I did this, just kind of say, okay, if we were going to place ads, right, if we were going to do some sort of campaign, where are we going to do it and why? And again, much smaller number than we're talking about with B2C. So how? So again, I'm dealing with salespeople, and I'm not going to say that they're lazy. They're not lazy. They're not dumb. They just may not be as gifted at this kind of stuff as some other things. And one of my marketing colleagues had recognized this, and so she put a step-by-step instruction together with, here's how you go about adding those contacts that you have onto LinkedIn.
When you're saying adding contacts on LinkedIn,
yeah.
What contacts are you adding?
So we have in our, so I have a list of all of the attendees from the annual ACOG show, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. I purchased that email list, okay? So I can take that email list and I can divide it out by sales representative and send them those lists. Here's your customers that attended ACOG this year.
And then they add them into
They can add them into LinkedIn. No, you can actually add them as contacts. Now they have to accept, the other person has to accept.
Yeah, which they probably won't because they don't want to
accept. They might. You would be surprised at how many people
But okay.
A lot of people do.
I was just confused as to
A lot of people do.
And a sales team. I was more thinking about how to sell via social.
Oh, okay.
Use social media to sell things.
Well, and so that's the idea, is that these guys get linked in with our customers and then start that relationship.
Yeah.
Now, again, they could go with a different approach. Instead of using a mass upload, what I've seen others do quite successfully is they have the email address and say, hey, I'm the sales rep for your territory. I would love to connect with you. Let me know if you have any ultrasound needs. A lot of people do it that way. So you can do it mass or you can do it one at a time. But at least they got to start with the email address. If they don't have the email address, they can't even do that.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's just a different method of selling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like email correspondence.
Absolutely.
Yeah, gotcha.
Absolutely. Oops, and this jumped ahead here. Okay. So, yeah, again, this is just how to get it done, and we're just trying to make it as easy as possible for our folks to reach out and connect with our customers on LinkedIn. Because the more I connect with them, the more they connect, it's easy. Go ahead. I can share this with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't found that yet.
No, no, there aren't instructions. She created it. Yeah, but I can certainly share that with you. Yeah. They should be able to figure that out. I know, I know. And this is highly technical stuff that these guys are selling too, but they're just like, So here's a funny story. The one guy that says I'm not technical at all, our national sales leader called him out on it because he's like, oh, I can't do Salesforce. I can't use it at all. And he said, wait a second. Didn't you just tell me that you ran an NFL football draft and the whole fantasy football thing? He did that all digitally and then tried to tell his boss's boss that he couldn't do Salesforce, so that didn't fly so high. So they just got to be properly motivated, right? Yeah, so again, it actually is pretty simple. You just have to know how to get there. Exactly. Okay, so I wanted to give a couple of examples of success. So Emily is our clinical sales leader in the Northeast, and she's fantastic. She's really seasoned. She has great rapport with customers, and she has a great presence about her. She took the pilot course, and she sent this unsolicited. So I'm going to give you guys just a second to read this because I thought it was fantastic. Emily Collins, you can follow her. You can link in with her. This is a Cydia deck. Has anyone used Cydia at all? You can look them up too. They're pretty cool. We haven't gotten a lot of leads from the decks themselves. They're actually, think of them as a deck of cards. They actually can kind of, you follow through like a deck of cards, a story. So you tell a story in a handful of cards. So they're fun, they're cool, they're interactive. And for us in ultrasound, we like to showcase these really amazing clinical images that we're seeing. I'm not clinical, but it's pretty wow impressive. So Emily, this one was a fetal heart one. That's one of our things that we do, fetal heart. I'm not going to talk to you about that here today. But she was just so impressed with this, and I just thought this is really great that she's out there talking about this and so pleased, and really easy way to help build that relationship with her customer and make the customer feel like they're connected even before they got there. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, Emily sent this email about the post that she did. Yeah. I'm going to say yes, of course it is, but I'm still working on metrics too myself. I've got some really great just success stories that people have shared with me. Our applications team is in Milwaukee this week for training, and they actually just on their own created these little picture frames. October is Medical Ultrasound Awareness Month. You guys all knew that, right? So October is Medical Ultrasound Awareness Month. So they created these frames and were taking pictures and posting them on our social media accounts. And it was like ultrasound nerd. I mean, these people love what they do, but it just really fun pictures to show how human they are. And so they did that on their own. They came up with this idea. And it's not promoting a product. It's not promoting a technology or selling GE. It's talking about how much they love what they do, which just resonates well for the company. So it's sort of had an organic nature about what's going on here. So I'm thrilled with it. But I don't know how to sell the metrics yet. Maybe we can learn more about that this afternoon from others. Did you have a question? Oh. Yeah, so how do sonographers influence the purchase of the product? I think just like in any sales situation, right, in our particular world, we have sonographers who are most of the time using the equipment and the doctors who will come in and they might scan a little bit just to check what the sonographer does. It will depend, right? The sonographers are the one using it, and so they'll have an opinion, but they're not going to have the purchasing decision. So it really depends on how much the purchaser listens to the sonographers or how big of a voice that sonographer has in a given situation. And that's up to the salesperson to read that audience. But it does matter because especially in this field, there's a lot of repetitive motion injuries. And so if you talk about having to replace somebody who had to go on medical leave or had to take an absence to have a wrist surgery or whatnot, anything that we can do to keep the sonographer happy is a good thing. Because if they have to pay substitutes and everything else, so. Yeah. But it, you know, substitute sonographer for any other influencer, it's
right.
going to be the
yeah,
same.
Right,
yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so you're connecting with people, you're doing all that stuff, but what are you gonna share with them, right? You still have to get some good content out there. Now I feel like an infant following Tyler when it comes to content marketing here, but there's just a ton of stuff out there. We're really just getting started on this from a GE Healthcare perspective and a B2B perspective. But one of the things that I took into this was that as an individual, because I'm out there, it's Jennifer Janowski. I don't have a GE Healthcare ultrasound, you know, LinkedIn page that I'm doing. It's me putting me out there and the salespeople putting their name out there on this. So one of the things that I took out of the readings that I've been doing about content and what to post and how to get engagement with the field is the 411 rule. You guys heard about the 411 rule? I borrowed it from somebody else. It's not mine. Essentially, what it comes down to is that for every one self-promotional piece or GE promotional piece or company promotional piece, you want to post four pieces that are not authored by you but are relevant and pertinent content. So you want to have a balance, right? Because you can't have a commercial 24/7. People are going to get turned off by that. So you got to have the right balance and you got to have the right stuff. And the other thing is that I didn't want the sales reps to have to come up with that content themselves. And again, some of this comes back to the fact that we're an FDA-regulated company, so we have to be a little careful on what we sell or what we say. We can't say anything about off-label use of a device, all that good stuff. I won't bore you with the details, but we just have to be careful. So we don't want people just getting creative out there. Again, GE has lots of resources. There's lots of content out there. But again, what's going to be meaningful and pertinent for your customer base, your people that you're connected with? Anybody out there use LinkedIn Elevate with your company? Yeah. What do you guys think of it? Yeah. Yeah. So if you haven't looked into that, that would be another one of those things to look at. It's a way for you as a company to help channel what you want your employees to share. So that's the easiest way to say it. So GE Healthcare has one. I use it a lot as, are there leadership things out there? Are there people things out there? Because we share a lot of that kind of stuff through LinkedIn, Elevate. I'm not going to share all of the GE stuff all the time because, again, I don't want to just be a GE commercial out there. And the people that are buying ultrasound really don't care that much about wind turbines. I mean, they might, but they probably don't. No, you know, no offense. We're trying to save the planet, too. But anyway, LinkedIn Elevate is a great source. GE also has this news aggregator called Eddy. It takes all of the GE news from everywhere, and you can share it. And again, it's a source. I don't promote a lot of that stuff, but it's another opportunity to do some fun stuff. GE Healthcare and GE sometimes has some really fun posts, social media posts. We have some really great businesses. We have a maternal infant care business. We have some really good patient stories that are out there, and sometimes those patient stories are just really nice to share. Even if it's not particularly in my business, it's really nice to see some of that stuff. One of the Nobel Prize winners was a GE Healthcare customer. So again, sharing some of that kind of stuff out there, it's nice to have some of those connections. And then microsites, trade shows, journals, industry publications, et cetera, all of those professional associations have great content too. You can share that. There's no reason to not share that. I follow March of Dimes. March of Dimes is a great resource for that kind of stuff for my industry. You guys probably don't care about that stuff, but I really like that stuff as well. And the one thing that I didn't put on here as I was going through the slides last night on my airplane ride here, I didn't put marketing up there. I was like, why am I not put marketing up there? But we have our product marketing team does a really great job of providing nice content. You saw one of those Cydia cards out there. They've also used some Snap app tools. What's interesting about both of those, though, is that they haven't gotten a lot of leads at the end of those. So while it's interesting to use them in social media, there hasn't been a lot of leads generated from them. So again, just things that we're looking at. So there's a lot of content out there. You just have to curate it. And I view my role as a marketer is to put all that stuff out there and let my sales team pull from that. right? So they don't have to think about it. They don't have to worry about it. They can just say, that looks good. I'm going to take this, that, and the other thing. So anybody recognize this little icon up in the top right? Anybody use Buffer? That's the Buffer icon, yeah. I use the free version. Buffer is a scheduling tool. You can schedule posts out to your social media account. So Monday mornings, I usually sit down and I spend some time figuring out, combing through a bunch of content that I want to publish for the next week or so. So that's just a routine that I've gotten into since I went into my social selling class. They recommend 20 minutes a day. Mondays are more than 20 minutes, but that's okay. But again, it helps me sort through things. What I found also is that I'm going through to see which social posts are getting as more impressions. And it wasn't necessarily what I thought would. So I think that's always interesting. What I find that gets a lot of impressions is the local trade shows. We do a lot of trade shows. There's a lot of regional trade shows. And you tag the people that are going and you tag the event, and they're thrilled that you're pulling them into that. And it just gets a nice amount of viewership and buzz. And for me, I've had a few posts that have gotten 1,000 impressions, and so for me, that's a lot. I know that's not a lot when you're talking B2C, but for me, just as an individual, that's a good amount. So timely, meaningful, and relevant. It doesn't help to timeliness is all relevant too, but you know, there's not a lot of huge medical changes that happen overnight, so timeliness is relative too. So, but definitely meaningful and approved and legal is all good. Okay, so this is Joe Sikoj. He is an applications person in our cardiovascular business. These are adult heart images. Now, I'm not going to test you on this, and I'm not super clinical either. But Joe is obviously doing a lot of things right before he got into the pilot class of social selling. He has 4,000 people that he's linked in with. Who here has more 4,000 people that they're linked in with? You do? Good for you. I'm just over 1,000, so I'm working on it. but I thought just the 4,000 was incredible. But look here. Look at these numbers. 11,000 views of these posts. 10,000, 11,000 views of these posts. And these are clinical cases. And they're beautiful. And he's gotten a lot of right impressions. He's connected to a lot of people, connected to the right people. And he's getting the right impressions. So I was stalking him. No, seriously, I was just going on to LinkedIn one morning and I saw that he had posted one of these cases. Within 8 hours, he had a demo request. He's like, when can I see this? I want to see this in my office. So this stuff, it works, right? And for us, being able to get in there and do a demonstration of the equipment, that's what gets them. That's what gets them over. So it's a formula. You know, you got to have the right profile, you got to have the right connections, and you got to have the right content. Okay. So what's next for us? We are really early on our journey, and I'm not gonna try and tell you that we're not. We'll have about 80 people in my business. Well, actually not quite. We'll have about 60 people that have gone through social selling by the end of October, so we'll be over 50%. We're going to do, one of the things that I want to do is I want to do a leader's quick guide. Because I have some of our executives now that they associate me with social selling. They want to know, okay, I want to do this, but I don't have time, right? So I want to come up literally with a 30-minute guide to get yourself up on LinkedIn. I don't know how effective it'll be, but, you know, it's better than nothing. So that's one of the things that I want to do. We've got this October course running again, and then I've got to think about what do I want to do in 2019, because, again, we're past the early majority now. And now what kind of strategy do we need to take to get those later adopters, the late majority and the late adopters, to jump on with us? Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. It remains to be seen. We're definitely going to be doing more social campaigns. I actually really wanted to do an influencer campaign for Ultrasound Awareness Month, and my contractors fell through. So I had a great idea of doing some really cool influencer stuff, but after hearing some of the last talks, I might want to just make that an ambassador campaign instead of just an Ultrasound Awareness Month campaign. But anyway, some really exciting stuff that we want to keep going with that. And then we actually worked up some incentives for the sales and commercial team. Because our team, they'll do anything if there's money involved, right? So we actually had an incentive plan worked up for, you know, the first person, or, you know, if you got 500 likes, it's worth this much, or 500 impressions, it's worth this much, 1,000, it's this much, 10,000, it's that much. So we were going to do it both for how many people you're connected with as well as how many impressions that you got. So didn't get approved for Q4, but we're looking to do that in Q1. But again, the incentives definitely drive behavior in the commercial organization. So it's definitely stuff that we're going to keep moving on. We still have a lot to learn in terms of content creation and curating and doing that kind of stuff. But the team likes the social content. They want to see it and they want to use it. So I'm starting to get the pull instead of just a push. So I think there's a lot of potential, and I think our team's starting to see it. So we have time for questions. So if you have any questions that we didn't address, we have to take them. It's called the Forward Progress is the company. And Dean Delisle is the founder of that company, and he does the social selling course, Forward Progress. Oh, it comes out of a different budget. Yeah. So, I know. So that was sort of the gamesmanship that I was playing as I was trying to work through some of this stuff. So, yeah. No, I know. It wasn't that much. Per person, it was not that much. So the way it works in our business, and I know it's not the same everywhere else, but the training budget for an individual goes with that person in that organization. And for me, my marketing budget is my marketing budget. So the course went to that individual, to their... I didn't bill it. They signed up for it, and it went right to them. So... Yes. No, that's okay. Go ahead. So the question was, do I do it in-house or do we invite a speaker? It's all done by our GE Learning infrastructure. So we have a very big GE Learning infrastructure, online virtual courses, in-person courses, and so there's infrastructure for this GE Learning. So people can register for a given course. So this is just listed as another option for them to register for, and they provide their cost center, and it's billed to them directly like that. So all of the, there's a whole group of people employed to do this GE Learning stuff. So yeah, that's one of the things we'll miss when we spin off from GE. GE Healthcare spinning off from GE, or at least that's the latest news we've heard. So yeah, there's a whole infrastructure around that that exists that may not exist elsewhere. So, yeah, Forward Progress does a nice job. They do a kickoff meeting, a 30-minute kickoff meeting, and then there's 4 1-hour sessions that we do in consecutive Fridays. So there was a question back here? Through social media? Or we're not there yet. That is something that we talked about, like, if somebody contacts them through social media, how are they going to put a campaign ID? Because I was thinking, maybe we should just put a generic campaign ID in there, but then we have to rely on the salespeople to remember to put the campaign ID in there, and how much can you trust on that? But that was the idea that I had, is that we would do that. What we do, so if we have an ad that was placed on LinkedIn or wherever, we usually do a landing page, and that lead generation through that landing page, that goes into Marketo with that, all of that scoring, and then that, if it passes a certain score, that goes into Salesforce. Now, if somebody just types it in, there's nothing. Yes. Not yet. Yeah. Oh, excellent. Okay. Oh, awesome. Pipeline builder she was talking about from LinkedIn is supposed to be pretty terrific. Yeah. So what I've been doing for the reps, and for for each trade show that we go to, I send out a list. Guys, here's approved social media posts that you guys can list. February, I sent out, like in February, I did a cool tools for February because we were just launching all of those city cards. So I put cool tools for February. It was the city card, but also approved posts to go with the city card. So when we do launch some sort of, in the new Snap apps, I do the same thing. So I provide the approved text to go along with any pieces. So for every show, I run that through legal and regulatory and then send that back out to the team. And fortunately, at this point, we've been doing it enough now where it's like, okay, I know what I can get away with. And so then you can kind of copy and paste. Get them approved? Yeah, so I usually don't start the post until like a week out or so. With legal and regulatory? A few weeks out, yeah. Our regulatory guy, man, he's Johnny on the spot. So, and we're also at the point now where we have references. It's similar to this one, so that makes the approval process a whole lot easier. No, not yet. I do because I am linked in with every single one of the commercial team. Am I babysitting them? No. But no, I haven't found anybody that's gone off the rails yet. Yet. I'm not saying it's not possible. But I think some of the folks that have gotten into it, we've got a guy that's out in the Northwest, and he covers Hawaii, he covers Alaska, and he only gets to Hawaii and Alaska a couple of times a year, but he's got a pretty broad territory, and he wants to use this with a combination of kind of a multimodality kind of thing to be able to do email and virtual stuff because he's got a long time between seeing a lot of these customers. So, I mean, different folks are using it different ways, but I think it's got a lot of potential for us.